Well, awesome. We're excited about that. And then, so this coming week is another youth camp that our kids already attended at camp, but this week, and we have the guest speaker for that camp, and he's going to be doing a service tonight at 6 p.m. as well. And he loves the Holy Spirit. He loves Jesus. He is just a great speaker, and we can't wait to hear from him. So his name is Ty Buckingham, and please welcome him this morning.
All right. Super excited to be here, guys. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Pastor, for having me, all pastors. Just to get into it, before we get into anything, my name is Ty Buckingham. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm married. I'm married, and I have a kid and a half. We have one kid. His name is Moses. I think we have a photo of them. Maybe not. I don't think so, actually. But I have a son named Moses, who's about to be 3 years old, and we are pregnant with another kid. I'll tell you what's really crazy is right now we are in the potty training phase of our parenting, and so I am so thankful to not be at home this morning. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. You know, it's interesting. Man, like some people say, oh, it must be nice to travel and preach around the world because you're at nice hotels. Any hotel, any room that doesn't have urine on the floor is a really good room. Amen. And so my parents in the room, they get it. So I want to start off, saying thank you just for being here. Please pray with us, man. And I want to start off talking about the most spiritual thing in our lives. Our pets. Okay, raise your hand if you have a pet, if you're a pet person. Okay, most of you, a lot of you. So for me personally, I feel like there are like three main categories of pets. First being this are dog people. Do we have any dog people in the room? Any dog people? Okay, cool. I feel like this is the most American pet to have. Like when I imagine the American family, it's like mom, dad, two kids, golden retriever with an American flag bandana, America. Awesome. I remember when I got a puppy, I carried the puppy into my house, and I felt more American. I felt like I just needed to go and vote for something or buy a gun or something. I have no idea, but I feel like it's a pretty normal pet to have. Second are these are people who have pet cats. Do we have any cat people in the room? Any cat people? Cool. Basically, what you're saying is, hi, I make terrible choices, which I get. Like, I've been there, part of my testimony, for real, but God delivered us. I remember we actually had a cat for a while. We loved him a lot. But eventually we had to get rid of him because he had this medical condition called peeing everywhere. And it happened for way too long, for way too much time. And eventually we did the Christ-like thing. We gave our problems to somebody else. And so praise God for that. But now God's redeemed us. We are dog people. Praise God. And the third category of pets, when I think about pets, are these. Are people who have pet birds. And if you're here and you have a pet bird, this is your wake-up call, okay? Because I, for one, I have never in my life met a normal person who has a pet bird. I remember before I got married, I lived next door to these people who owned these exotic birds, which apparently meant like 5 times as expensive and 10 times as loud. I remember being on walks in the neighborhood from outside of the house. I could hear what was going on inside of the house. It was kind of a complaint. And so one day, though, the neighbors kind of invite me in, and being neighborly, I walk into the house, and I realized something was totally different. It was completely silent, and all I could think was, praise God, the birds died. I'm just playing. But I was like, I asked my neighbors, like, where are the birds? Usually they're so loud, and they point to this room in the side of their house, and I see the bird cage, which is already interesting, because birds are made to do one thing, to fly. But when we have them as pets, they can't do what they're made to do. They kind of hop around, look silly. But in this moment, I saw something I'd never seen, is I saw a blanket actually draped over the birdcage. I'd never seen this before, so I asked my neighbors, I said, why is there a blanket over the cage? And they said, sometimes the birds are so loud, it's like they're trying to say something, but we don't know what it is, and so it's just easier for us to put a blanket over the cage. They go completely silent, and it's as if they're not even there. And in this one really random moment at a neighbor's house, friends, I realized how many people, believers included, treat Holy Spirit like he's actually a bird. Whereas too many of us, we have confined him to a cage of comfortability, or confined him to a cage of camp meetings, or Sunday night only services, or worst case, maybe there are some of us where it feels like Holy Spirit is trying to engage in our life. You don't know how to engage back. So you've kind of put him in the side room of the house. So he's in the house, but not really of the house. And maybe we've put a blanket over him, and you miss out on a massive part of who God is. And so here's the thing. If you have your Bible, say, oh, yes, I do. There we go. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, 16 through 17. And I used to, if I'm honest, for a long time, I used to think of Holy Spirit. And in my mind, I would picture a bird, picture a dove. You see this on logos of churches. You see it on, you know, paintings of Jesus, a halo, a dove. And I used to wonder, why is it that when I think of Holy Spirit, I think of an animal, I think of a dove? It seems kind of odd. And the reality is actually comes from the word, the origin of this, in Matthew chapter 3, 16 through 17. And it says this. This is when Matthew is writing down his firsthand account of Jesus being baptized. And in this moment, it says this. It says, immediately when he was baptized and Jesus was baptized, he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God. Now let's pause. Anytime you read in the Bible, Spirit of God, that is talking about Holy Spirit. Same person, just different vernacular, different way of saying his name. So you saw the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, descending like a dove. Someone say like? Yeah, that word like is important. Matthew is writing down this heavenly moment, but he's using earthly language to describe it. He's saying, I have no words for this, but it's like when a bird rests on a branch is how I saw Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus. And then behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This voice from heaven, obviously the voice of God the Father. And then we have God the Son being baptized in water. And we have God the Holy Spirit all together at the same place at the same time. This moment is actually one of the only times in the entire New Testament where we see God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit all together at the same place at the same time. Which shows me, number one, that the Holy Spirit is not a bird, but the Holy Spirit is God here on earth, living inside of us, once we give our life to Jesus, to have relationship with us. And I don't know about you, but I remember when someone preached about this, and they're like, a relationship with Holy Spirit? Because I used to wonder, why do I need a relationship with Holy Spirit if I already have a relationship with Jesus? And the number one reason is this, is that it is Jesus's plan for you. And number one of why have relationship with Holy Spirit is that it is Jesus's plan for you. John 16, verse 7, Jesus says to his disciples, it's so important that he says, it is better for you that I, Jesus, go away. For if I do not go, the Helper, Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is saying that it is better for us to have what we have now of Holy Spirit than what the disciples had with Jesus way back then. Why? Because if I can say it like this, Holy Spirit does what Jesus couldn't do. Jesus was confined to an earthly body by choice, and he lived a perfect, sinless life in that body. But he was confined to a human body at one place, at one time, all the time. So man, there's these moments, these miracles that happen so many times, but every miracle that happened in the life of Jesus revolved Jesus getting to them, or many oftentimes, them getting to Jesus. People had to physically do things, push through crowds, break down roofs, climb up trees, just to have a second with Jesus. But instead of us physically having to get to Jesus, Jesus physically did something on the cross, died, rose again, and gave us the gift of Holy Spirit, and it's way better for us. It's way better for us, man, for real. And so why have a relationship with Holy Spirit? Number one, it is Jesus' plan for all of you. And let me say, Holy Spirit isn't for the spiritual elite, whatever that even means. Holy Spirit is for everybody, for every single person in this room, anyone watching online. I mean, it's for everybody. And so it's Jesus' plan for you. And secondly is this, is having Holy Spirit in your life is way better than doing life by yourself. It's way better. So there's this one prayer I prayed, I don't know, 6 times in my life. The first time I was 15 years old and I prayed this prayer. I said, Jesus, let that girl be my wife. Amen. Okay. You can laugh, like some of you have done it. Okay, I remember I texted this girl. I said, hey, I texted a girl. I was 15 years old. I said, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend? Yes or no? She did not respond with a yes or a no. She responded with sure, period. Which is kind of depressing, but it's fine. But in that moment, I'm 15. I know all there is to know about my future, obviously. And so I say, yeah, she's like, sure, I'm all in. I go out to my room, get on my hands and knees, and I pray, Jesus, let that girl be my wife. Amen. So then we have a great relationship, ups and downs, mountains and valleys. But 8 minutes later, she breaks up with me. So whatever. And so here's the thing. Then I prayed that prayer 5 more times over 5 other women. It's too many women, okay? For real. But I remember this. I would get frustrated at God when he wouldn't answer my prayers. And I'll be honest, because oftentimes it was, I love Jesus, she loves Jesus, so this has to be Jesus, which is not always the case, friends. But I would get frustrated. And maybe I'm talking to some people here, or maybe you've come in this morning, and you are praying good, righteous prayers, but it feels like God is not answering your prayer. And let me tell you, what if God is not answering your prayer because he has a better prayer for you to pray? See, I'll be honest, I got really upset. Like every time of those 6 women I prayed for and they were not my spouse, now I'm so glad that God did not answer those prayers because they're all crazy, okay? And then eventually, I meet this girl named Rebecca. She's my wife now, just to spoil it. I meet this girl named Rebecca, and I pursue her. I mean, I'm attracted to her. I'm courting her. We're pursuing marriage. And in that pursuit, I remember, because I have a relationship with Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Rebecca is the woman I want you to marry. Now, let's pause, because here's the thing. Let's just say, today, this morning, God speaks to you, and you know that you know that God is telling you who your spouse is going to be. You don't tell them because that's the weirdest thing ever, okay? Imagine this. Imagine this is a dinner table. I'm on date number 2 with Rebecca, and she sits there. I sit here, and she's like, how was your day? And I'm like, it was amazing. Thank you for asking. And she's like, what was so good about your day? And I'm like, well, today I heard from the Lord. And she's like, that's attractive. That's really great. What did God say to you? I'm like, well, who are you in for a treat today? I don't know how to tell you this, but God, not me, him, take it up with him. He said, you're going to be my wife. You're welcome. I promise you, if I would have done that, she would have gotten up, left, and I never would have seen her again. Why? Because that is weird. It's strange. And it's honestly, it's kind of manipulative. Where we, like, it's pretty weird. And if I say it like this, Holy Spirit doesn't give you permission to be weird. He gives you authority to be normal. He doesn't give you to be weird in your feelings, and you're saying, I'm feeling it, so I'm just going to do it. That's immaturity. But maturity in Christ is having a relationship with Holy Spirit, doing what the Word of God says, and then anything that Holy Spirit tells you to do, instead of asking God to bless your decisions, you can get Holy Spirit's decisions, and those decisions are already blessed. So we can go from begging God to bless our lives to walking in the blessing every day just by having a relationship with Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's Jesus' plan for you. It's way better than doing life on your own, and it is a miraculous life. It's a miraculous life. You know, there's not one recorded miracle in the Bible that Jesus does until after he receives Holy Spirit. There's not one recorded miracle in the Bible until Jesus receives Holy Spirit. But yet so many of us, we try to go through days in our lives without Holy Spirit empowering us. And can I tell you, Holy Spirit, we don't just need Holy Spirit for miracles. We need Holy Spirit to go to Walmart, man. Like, I need Holy Spirit to do anything in my life. And let me say it like this, with a room of this many people, there's probably different faith backgrounds that have gotten to this moment. And let me just speak on something for a moment. If you've ever been taught, ever been told that Holy Spirit's power stopped back in the day with the apostles, or that's no longer for today, let me tell you, if anyone ever told you that Holy Spirit stopped, it's only because that person never started. The only reason why anyone's going to say the Holy Spirit stopped is because that person never started. And honestly, they're trying to excuse their own lack of personal power. They're basically saying, hey, I'm not seeing it, so nobody sees it. But I'm going to tell you, not as a preacher, not as a pastor, but as a normal Bible-believing person, I see miracles all of the time. We're going to see them this morning. We'll see them tonight for sure. And I want to tell you that what Jesus did back then, he wants to do today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same all of the time. Which is why even tonight, like we'll pray for a little bit tonight, this morning, but tonight, our focus tonight is one thing, is praying for miracles tonight. We're going to have a service dedicated just to seeing miracles, and we're going to see them. But here's the thing. Spirit of God, his power is not just for the church. His power is to be the church outside of these walls. And so I want to tell you a quick story to illustrate this and to make practical for you the power of God outside of these walls. Because this morning, I want us to be full of power so that outside of these doors, we can be used in his power. I love even what Pastor Mitch is saying, like, hey, we want to be called to go to places like the parks to lead people to Jesus. And a while ago, God had a really interesting moment with me when I went to a miraculous place called Walmart. And here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I have this weird thing where I go into Walmart for two things, and I leave Walmart with 47 things. It's like loaves and fishes. It's crazy, all the multiplication. And here's the thing. I remember one day I was walking into Walmart, and I wasn't going in as a pastor, wasn't going in as a preacher. I just go into Walmart as a person, okay? And I remember walking into Walmart, and I felt this nudge of Holy Spirit. And it's not a physical nudge. It's like a nudge in my thoughts. Often Holy Spirit speaks in my thoughts and our thoughts. And it's like a nudge in the right direction of how to live our lives. And all of a sudden, I felt this nudge. Actually, real quick, can you nudge the person next to you? Just give them a little nudge. Just there we go. There we go. Give a little nudge from the front to the top, from the back. There we go. So I felt this nudge, and I felt Holy Spirit speak to me and say this, Ty, you can't leave Walmart until you heal the sick. My response, yes, I can. I do all the time. If I'm honest, like if I'm real, because we have a relationship, it's fine. Now, I might feel that way. I might not want to do it, if I'm honest, because I had my timeline, my agenda, but God's ways are higher than my ways. And so I walk into Walmart as a normal believer, because a weird believer, they go in and like, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? You look sick. Like, that would be weird. It would take a lot of time. And can I say it like this? Holy Spirit is not trying to take you on a spiritual scavenger hunt so you might find him. Holy Spirit wants what you want more than you even want it. So if he's going to say, hey, I want you to pray for somebody, he's going to show you who that person is. And so I kind of do my Walmart thing, get all my stuff. I'm in the back of Walmart, you know, the Holy of Holies, where the TVs are. Praise God. And if I'm honest, nothing miraculous has happened. I have all my things, and nothing miraculous has happened. And if that's how the story ends, it's still a really good story. Because my goal as a believer is not to see the results of following Jesus. My goal as a believer is just to follow Jesus. And the results are up to him. Now, this time I did end up hearing him right. And I'm walking to the front of Walmart to check out. And I feel Holy Spirit nudge me again. And this would be kind of like a word of knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are 9 gifts of Holy Spirit. And in some books I've written, we kind of talk about how to be used in all of these. But here's one. God wants to give us as believers information about other people to bring them closer to Jesus. And so all of a sudden, I felt Holy Spirit speak to me and kind of downloaded some information and said, hey, in 3 aisles from now is the person I want you to pray for. And you might be wondering, well, how do you know that it's God's voice and not just your own thoughts? Well, number one is what he's saying rooted in the word of God. And number two, I'm going to find out. So I go find out. Aisle number 1, nobody. 2, nobody. Aisle number 3, there is one person. It's a Walmart employee, and it's the cereal aisle. And you're like, who cares? Here's the thing. I met your pastor yesterday. He picked me up from the airport. We had a great time. Your pastor is more spiritual than I am. Pastor Mitch, he probably sees water turn to wine on a daily basis. What he does with it, his business. I have never seen water turn to wine, but all of the time, I have seen milk turn into chocolate milk, praise God. And so If God's going to do a miracle, he's going to do it in the cereal aisle. It's kind of a joke, but it's also kind of real. So I walk up to this lady, and I want this to be a practical word for you, friends, because I don't want you to have any excuse to not pray for people. So this is how healthy people can pray for people out in public. I walk up to the lady, and I say, this might be really weird to you, because it probably is. I feel like God is super real. I'm trying to hear his voice better all of the time. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Would that be okay? Would that be okay? Those four words are important because I want to operate under relational opportunity, not just kind of being strange or in my feelings. Because that's normal. What a weird believer does is they see the lady at the end of the aisle and say, it's go time. In the name of Jesus. And like, could you do that? Yeah, but there's probably a better way to do it is I have a relationship with somebody. So I say, hey, can I pray for you? And she says, yes, which of course, she's on the clock getting paid to get prayed for. Best deal of all time, like for real. So then it does get a little crazier. This is not a crazy story. This is a normal story for all believers. Is all of a sudden I felt Holy Spirit speak to me, a word of knowledge. And I said, hey, ma'am, I could be wrong, which is totally okay. I want to own it. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling in my gut, in my spirit, that 3 days ago you were in a car accident and it totaled your car and you're in severe back pain even right now. Does that mean anything to you? And she looks at me and she says two words. She says, oh, snap. Say, oh, snap. Not those exact words, but pretty close. And so, yeah, this is what happened. She cussed at me. And I wasn't offended. Why? Because I don't expect non-believers to talk like believers. However, church family, I do expect believers to operate in the gifts of Holy Spirit like believers should. And so, man, if anything, I'm more excited now. And she said, how do you know this? Who told you? She says, yes, 3 days ago, I was in a car accident. My car is destroyed. My back is too, I'm in severe pain. But I have to work because I need the money. Who told you? And the goal, friends, in these moments is never for her to see how spiritual I am. Who cares? The goal is for her to see that God sees her. That's always the goal. That's my goal for you today, is for you to see that God sees you even when you feel like God isn't seeing you. God sees you. He knows you. He wants to be a part of your life. And so then again, I pray real quickly. I say, can I pray for you? She says, yes. And really quickly, with my eyes open, hands in my pockets, I pray simply like this. Jesus, you love my friend so much. You came from heaven to earth, lived a sinless, perfect life that we could never live. You died on our behalf, rose from the dead 3 days later, and you give us the opportunity to say yes to you, and you say yes to us forever with heaven with you. I also pray you'd heal her back. Amen. I always want to put a greater emphasis on what God does eternally in prayer than what God does temporarily here on this earth in healing. Both are great, but one is better. And so then I prayed for her, and she moves her back from side to side, and she looks at me with tears in her eyes, and she says this. She says, I don't know what's happening, but I think your God just healed my back. I've never felt this good in my entire life. And let me tell you, these moments, yeah, it's exciting, it's fun, but can I be real? Too many of us, we applaud for others where God is waiting to applaud for you. He wants to let you know that these stories are not for preachers and pastors. They're for all people. Because in the book of Joel in the Old Testament, it's prophesied that the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. Say all? Yeah, on all people. And here's what's interesting. Because I believe that Holy Spirit wants to nudge all of us in the right direction. And in this room, I saw three different nudges. I said, nudge the person next to you. I saw three. Nudge number one. Some of you, like, we're digging into each other. Chill out, okay, for real. Nudge number two was a little tap. You know, I saw a little tap on the shoulder. That's whatever. Some of you didn't do it at all. I can see you, okay? Rude. Here's what I want you to get, though, for real. The level of nudge that you felt was determined by the level of relationship that you have. If you're sitting next to someone who's really close to you, they could push you out of your seat. I think I saw someone do that. If you're sitting next to a stranger and some guy on stage says, nudge the person next to you, and they push you out of your seat, could it happen? Yes. Does it happen? Not very often. And I think we can get frustrated Because we say, why is it that I'm not feeling the nudge of Holy Spirit? And my response is always this: how close are you sitting next to Holy Spirit? Because the problem is not that he's not nudging, it's that I'm not close enough to feel what he's doing. And so Jesus gives us this ability, this access to greater feel him. And it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, 4 and 5, Jesus says this. It's the last commandment Jesus ever gives. And Jesus says this. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John, he baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I love that Jesus says the Holy Spirit is a gift, because by nature, I don't have to earn it. I don't have to pay for it. All I have to do is receive it and accept it. So Holy Spirit is a gift, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's the last words ever recorded of Jesus before he ascends to heaven. And Jesus spends those moments defining what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And he says, the gift you'll receive is this: you will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Those four places are very important. To the original audience that Jesus is speaking to, you got to get this. Because the Bible was written for you, but the Bible was not written to you. But you got to get this, is that the people who Jesus was speaking to in that moment, Jerusalem was their home, Judea was their community, man, Samaria was the outer parts, and then ends of the earth was everywhere else. And what Jesus is saying to them, and what he ends up saying to us, is that Holy Spirit is here to empower us to be a better witness to all people everywhere. To all people everywhere. And where does it start? The first place Jesus says is Jerusalem is in our homes. And if I can be honest, friends, I think there's a lot of us. We get excited about preaching and witnessing on the streets in our parks, but we have missed out on witnessing to our families in our homes. If you can preach on the street, but you can't preach in your home, you're just not a good preacher. And reality is this: God wants to empower you for every area of your life. And the last passage we're going to see is when this first takes place. It's kind of going to be our way of how we're going to do it today, is Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. It's on the day of Pentecost, and it says this: on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a violent rushing wind filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided on each one of them looked like tongues as of fire. And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as Holy Spirit enabled them to do so. Here's what I love. Holy Spirit enables us to speak in a language that's not on earth. It's a heavenly language, where like Romans 8, it says that when we pray that way, we pray the perfect will of God. Can I be real? God wants to pray things through you that you have yet to have faith for to pray through yourself. We get frustrated that God isn't answering our prayers. So you know what's better? Praying his prayers. Jude 1:20 says it actually builds our faith when we do this. And here's what I love. In this passage, my favorite part of this entire thing is this. It says that all of them were filled. And if my friends in the band can make their way back up as we transition to a time of prayer, it says that all of them were filled. In this moment, there's 120 of them following Jesus. Some of them have been following Jesus for years. Some of them have been following Jesus for months, weeks, maybe days. And yet, regardless of their longevity with Jesus, all of them were filled. Which tells me this, friends, that wherever you're at this morning, whether you're about to be in relationship with Jesus, you're new in relationship with Jesus, or you have been in relationship with Jesus for most of your life, all of us this morning can be filled with more of Holy Spirit than we walked in here with. And that is our goal this morning. Let me say it like this. Our goal this morning is not for you to speak in tongues, although that can happen for many of us. Our goal this morning is for you to get more of Holy Spirit than you walked in here with. And when you do that, most of us end up speaking in a different language. Now, Pastor, I did not prepare you for this, but what is your favorite fruit, Pastor Mitch? What's your favorite fruit? Orange. It took you a long time. I don't know if I believe you. It's fine. But here's the thing. Let's say before service, I'm playing. He eats more oranges than I ever do. I don't eat fruit. And so, pastor, let's say before service, pastor's like, Ty, can you do me a favor? Can you go to the store and can you get me some oranges? I'm like, pastor, I'm so generous. I'll buy them myself. I know, pretty generous. And so I go to the store, I come back, and he's like, hey, where are the oranges? And I pull out of my pocket a gift receipt, because it's a gift, and I hand him the gift receipt. It says I bought him oranges. And he's like, cool. Where are the actual oranges? And I'm like, no, dude, it says right there on the gift receipt that I got you oranges. And he's like, yeah, I get it says that, and that's cool, but I want the actual substance that can help me out. Can I say it like this? Speaking in tongues is the gift receipt for Holy Spirit gift himself. It's the evidence on what we've received. But my goal for you isn't to get a gift receipt, although I want it for you. The goal is to get Holy Spirit who comes with a gift receipt. It'd be really crazy. Man, my anniversary is next month. And if I get my wife a gift and all that was inside the box was only a gift receipt, I would not be getting no gifts ever again, okay? But too many of us believers, if I can say it like this, we have focused so much on initial evidence that we have forgotten the continual evidence of Holy Spirit. That is to be empowered by him to bring people to Jesus, whether it's in Walmart, at the park, or even in church and in our homes. So this is what we're going to pray for this morning, is to be filled with more Holy Spirit than we walked in here with. And if you're here and you say, I'm not really feeling anything, man, good for you that God is taking you to a higher level of spiritual maturity past your feelings. This is not about feeling good. This is about being empowered to do some good. So here's what I want us to do. We can all bow our heads and close our eyes as we transition to a time of real prayer in a moment. You guys can start. It's totally fine. What you got to get is this. Holy Spirit is a gift for all believers from Jesus. But the only way to get the gift that Jesus has for you, you need to first receive the gift that Jesus already is for you. And that's the only prerequisite to today. The only prerequisite to his power, to his like this anointing, to see more people filled, to be healed, to be saved, is for us to be saved in the first place. And whether you are someone who you need to give your life to Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time, this is a healthy place to make a really great decision for Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to make you come to the front or embarrass you in any way. All I want to do is this, is just to know who I'm praying for from the very top of the balcony to the very front row here. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we pray in the altars, before we pray up front, if you'd say, hey, I need to give my life to Jesus, or I need to give my life back to Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, and you'd say, hey, I want to do life with Jesus and not just by myself, if that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, can you just raise your hand really high, just so I know where the room is at? Awesome, 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 awesome. Okay, cool, like 10 people, awesome, praise Jesus, maybe more. Okay, you can put your hands down. So we're going to do this not by ourselves, because you are called to do life together in the body of Christ. And so we're going to pray, man, as a church family. Man, whether you're visiting, whether you're here all the time, this is a healthy house to become a healthy person. So we're going to pray like what the Bible says. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. So we're going to pray this as a church family, every person, new and old believer. We're going to pray with those dozen or more people who just said yes to Jesus. So I want us to all together as a family, pray this after me. Say, Jesus, you're pursuing me. I want to pursue you for the rest of my life. You died on a cross for me. You were raised from the dead. And I believe in you. I repent of my sin. I give you myself. And all God's people said amen. Hey, can we give it up for like the dozen or more people who just said yes to Jesus? It's the best thing that happens all day long. And if you're physically able to, can we all stand to our feet if we're physically able to? Whether you're in the balcony or whether you're down on the floor, I don't care. If you are physically able to, let's stand to our feet. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to give God our best 6 minutes in prayer. Because you kind of say it like this, you don't have to beg God to do what God already wants to do. We don't have to earn it. Like, God is a good father who gives good gifts to his kids. He's not a coach waiting for you to perform for him. God wants to give you the gift of Holy Spirit, of more of him, to hear his voice and to be empowered to do what his voice says. So man, this opportunity is for anybody who says, I want to hear his voice better and I want to be empowered to do what he says for me to do. So I'm gonna pray us into this moment. The band's gonna kind of lead us through a song. And then when I say amen, that's your cue to come forward to the front. And I would love to pray for you. Prayer leaders, as I start praying, they'll make their way up as well. And we would love to pray for you, because what Jesus has is for everybody. So Jesus, I pray this as prayer leaders make their way up. Jesus, I pray that this would be the easiest place in the entire world to receive your Holy Spirit. I pray that some of us would feel you physically, but God, I pray that others, we would just know. And so God, I pray for my friends that you would, man, that in a moment that you would respond not to your feelings, but to the word of God that says this, that the Spirit of God is not just for the spiritual elite, not just for few and far between, but is for every person that calls in the name of Jesus, that all of us can be filled. And so in a moment, there are a couple prayer leaders, but then we can also just pray by ourselves in the front. So if you're here and you'd say, I want more of Holy Spirit. I want to hear his voice and I want to be baptized in power. I want all he has for me in the name of Jesus. As the band leads us through a song, in the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. So if that's you and you'd say, hey, I want more of Holy Spirit in my life, get out of your seat and come to the front and we would love to pray for you. If you're saying, hey, I want miracle moments, then come up to the front and be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to hear his voice, then come up to the front and be full of Holy Spirit. Don't miss out because your friend hasn't gone up yet. Don't miss out on what God wants to do in every single one of you. So I want you, as you come up to the front or you pray where you're at, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and focus on Jesus, not on me. And I want you to speak and pray out loud. That doesn't mean loudly, but it does mean out loud. Because in a moment, it's going to change from English to a different language. And even if you're in the back and you haven't responded yet, I'm going to tell you to respond where you're at. So I want to tell you to bow your heads, close your eyes all across this church, and focus on Jesus. And say, hey, Jesus, I want to receive the gift you have for me. And I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Focus on him, not on me, not on anybody else. And would you be filled with the Holy Spirit for our next like 5 or 6 minutes? Let's give our time to Jesus this morning.